Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome back to Wellness as a Way of Life. I'm your host, Megan Swan. In today's episode, I had the incredible Karen Reiter, CEO of Nutritious and Delicious, sharing her journey from law and finance to becoming an expert in functional medicine. She talked about how addressing the root causes of her personal autoimmune diseases transformed her health. We explored how functional medicine marries conventional and holistic approaches, empowering clients to take control of their wellness. If you're curious about the future of healthcare, you don't want to miss this episode. Tune in now. Welcome back to Wellness as a Way of Life, the less is more source of wellness, knowledge, wisdom, and inspiration for modern women and female founders. Here, we teach you why not all wellness trends are for you, how to figure out which ones are, and how to best adapt them for your personal wellness toolbox. I'm your host, Megan Swan. With more than a decade of experience in the wellness industry and on my own personal journey, I will teach you how to tune into and trust your intuition and drown out all the noise. I love to support female founders in the process of building their business to strategically optimize their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness. I have helped hundreds of women establish wellness as a way of life with my less is more approach. Join me on my mission to make wellness a way of life. Let's dive in. Welcome, Karen. I'm so excited to have you here today. I would love to get started talking about the intersection of functional medicine with wellness, because I know that's one of your expertise. And I think it's, my personal view is it's the wave of the future. So I'd love for you to start off there. How are you?
Thank you, Megan, and thank you for having me. What an honor. I got into functional medicine kind of by chance. I'd never heard of it. I actually studied to become a lawyer and worked in a bank. So I studied law and finance and did that when I graduated. It was only because of my own health that I kind of stumbled into this world of natural medicine first. So I got sick with an autoimmune disease probably at the age of 18, but really started to struggle with my health, you know, in my early 20s. And because my dad's a doctor, so I kind of went down the conventional route. And I had, you know, this is a long story. I'm just going to get to the bottom line of it. I had a moment, people call it like the aha moment, where it was like, something really needs to change because it's not normal that I'm so young and just not thriving. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment I decided to help myself, to figure out something to help myself. And, you know, this is a good 20 years ago. So there was not a lot of, there were no podcasts then, you know, a couple of blogs and stuff. There was nothing like it is today where you Google and, you know, the rest is history. I really had to figure out stuff. So I went to the health food store and I asked people, and people were like, oh, nutrition. So I was like, great. So that's what I did. I went to study nutrition. I was in Sydney at the time and I studied a degree in medical nutrition. I was like, okay, that's where I'm going. And it did help me. It did help me, but not enough, because at the age of 30, I was diagnosed with a second autoimmune disease. And that's when I was like, okay, you know a lot about nutrition now, but something is not working for your body. dive deeper. And that's when I went to study functional medicine. At that point, I was a young mom. I had a business. I was a nutritionist already. And I went to study functional medicine through Institute of Functional Medicine in the States. And functional medicine is what I think of as the marriage between conventional medicine and holistic medicine. So these are people that are coming from more conventional way of thinking, very biological, physiological, you know, medical, but have a very holistic way of looking at one's health. And what functional medicine says is it says there are root causes for your disease. Some of the root causes are physical, like your nutrition, your sleep, your exposure to toxins and viruses and stuff like that. And some are spiritual, mental, emotional. And until you don't address these root causes, you're not going to get better. So for me, I had a lot of root causes. You know, I had mold exposure from my apartment in Sydney, which who knew? No one told me that mold is going to make me sick. Mm-hmm. I had a mouthful of amalgams. When I grew up in South Africa, that's what they did. They put tons of amalgams in your teeth. And I know, like, I ate tons of sugar as a kid. I had tons of holes. So I had a mouthful of amalgams that were old. And when I tested myself for heavy metals, I had very high mercury levels in my body. I had Epstein-Barr virus, which is known as, you know, the kissing disease. A lot of young teens have it. That was probably what kind of kickstarted my immune system and all this. And nutrition alone wasn't going to solve my issues until I didn't address the other issues and my gut, which I didn't even touch on. My gut was a mess. Until I didn't touch and address these root causes, I didn't really see an improvement in my health. And so that's how I kind of got into this and why I really believe in functional medicine, why I practice today as a functional medicine practitioner.
Yeah, beautiful. Can you take us back a little bit more? Because, I mean, even though this is 20 years ago, honestly, I don't think it's entirely changed a lot for many women that are going with these types of issues to see, you know, traditional medicine 2.0, a doctor, if you will. Like, what were the doctors telling you? Were they giving you, you know, a prescription to solve it? Or they just said, like, I don't know what it is, you know, good luck. What was the response? And did you go to multiple specialists? Like, what was your experience trying to find answers?
You hit the nail on the head there. You know, I don't remember the statistics 100%, but I know that many people, many especially women with autoimmune diseases, takes them about 6 to 7 years to actually find a practitioner that can help them, because majority of them go through the conventional medicine. So for me, I can tell you my personal story. I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmune thyroid. 1 in 4 women will get an autoimmune disease. Hashimoto's is by far the most common autoimmune disease for women, and a slow functioning thyroid or an underactive thyroid is a very common phenomena for women, specifically women in the perimenopausal years and even menopausal years. So it's something that it's pretty common. Now, it's quite interesting because conventional doctors have a range. They test one hormone, which is called TSH, which is basically the pituitary gland speaking with the thyroid gland, thyroid stimulating hormone. And they test that range, and they have their range. The range is 0.5 to 5. Okay. And if you're in the range, everything's fine. They're not going to help you, even if you feel a whole host of symptoms, which we'll talk about in a minute. Functional medicine says, hey, the range is actually not 0.5 to 5. It's actually 0.5 to 2.5. Anything about 2.5, that is a big red flag that your thyroid is underfunctioning. And we don't only look at the numbers, we're looking at the human. What are you struggling with? Are you struggling with weight gain? Are you struggling with fatigue, which is the biggest issue with Hashimoto's? This like real fatigue. It's hard to explain it unless you've ever haven't felt it. It's like you want to get up, but it's hard. Slow motivation, your gut's not great. You might be constipated. It's hard for you to lose weight. These women are frustrated. Their doctor is telling them, take an antidepressant, go to the gym, and stop whining. But actually, your metabolism is jacked. You're exhausted. It's hard for you to function. You're losing your hair. You have zero libido. You're not functioning. This is your main metabolic hormone, and it's not functioning. And instead of the doctors checking, digging deeper and checking further, like looking, for example, at your free T4 and your free T3 and your reverse T3, and lo and behold, your autoantibodies. And if you do those tests, not just the TSH, you're going to start to see things in these women. And the quicker we can diagnose and we can see where these women are in, you know, in the scale, the quicker we can help them. And there is so many things you can do to help these women. It's just, it makes me really mad when I see someone who's like struggled for a long time, because I know that if only the doctors would have just broadened their horizons and looked further. But there's a lot of politics behind that in many countries. I don't know how it is where you are, but you know, many countries that I've lived in and worked in, there's the public health sector, and you know, they don't want to spend a lot of money on tests, so they do the bare minimum of tests that they can do to save money, and only when there's real like red flags do they do further testing. And so many women are underdiagnosed, and then the doctor's ranges are not the optimal ranges. This is what functional medicine speaks about, this optimal range. And you,
2.0, also all of their ranges, all of their data, all of their norms are based on the male body, because it's only been very recently that, you know, women have complicated hormones. They might screw up the study. So they haven't been using women until very recently. So I'm love that you're bringing up that the basics of what the range is sort of more sensitive in the functional medicine world. And yes,
and to the point, right, like, the human,
yeah,
right,
and to understand, depending on whether it's private or public, there's all these other reasons that doctors, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but I can speak to Canada and the US. Even though one's private and one's public, the doctors are not taking the same amount of time that a functional medicine doctor will take to look at all the problems. In Canada, it's literally, what is the current symptom you want us to talk about? In the United States, it's just like 7-minute appointments.
I know. And it's very frustrating. And yeah, there's a lot. Just looking at functional medicine, at the like thyroid and Hashimoto's. So root causes of Hashimoto's are things like nutritional deficiencies. So like having low levels of vitamin D, or low levels of iron, which are super common for women, right? Especially if you've given birth, right?
Yeah.
This is a very, very common phenomenon. Low, like if you don't eat enough protein in your diet, which is another very common thing for women, then you have low levels of an amino acid that's really important for thyroid hormone production. It could be food sensitivities. That's another big root cause. So it's not a food allergy per se, but it's a sensitivity to potentially proteins in gluten, for example. So proteins in bread or proteins in milk. So casein, for example, is another one. So you might not be having an allergic reaction per se, but you eating that food might be causing inflammation in your body, which is in turn causing, you know, your body to get into this autoimmune state. It could be, you know, your gut. We didn't even speak about that. That's such a big root cause. Like, what are the bacteria that are living in your gut? Are there more good bacteria than bad bacteria? Did you acquire any parasites in your life, which so many women do? Mm-hmm. Not only women, but men. You know, have you taken medications, even things like pain relief medication, which can create, you know, leaky gut? So there's so many root causes. And really, when you address them, you can start to feel better. But sometimes it's also a matter of, and that's why I like functional medicine, combining Western medicine with holistic medicine. Sometimes we'll have patients that still need to take thyroid medication, but are also doing all the rest of the lifestyle stuff. They're taking the supplements, they're, you know, they're eating the right foods and so forth and so on. And then we start to see like real improvement in their symptoms and their life.
Yeah. Well, and am I right, in the functional medicine world, it's more an approach. Okay. We're not against using medicine 2.0 drugs or whatever in the short term, but ultimately we're looking to get more to the root of the problem, and therefore, you know, not giving prescriptions with the idea that this is a lifelong solution. It's just to get you back to some sort of homeostasis, supplemented with all of the natural medicine, and hopefully there'll be a different kind of management in the long run. How has that been for you personally with all of your symptoms or interactions of autoimmunes?
Yeah, this is 100%. This is how I practice as well. You know, so I'm not against certain types of medications. In fact, many people need to take medications. But very often the goal is to wean them off the medication or to get them to a very low level of medication. And really, you know, specifically with Hashimoto's, most people that take levothyroxine or thyroxine, which is the T4 hormone, they keep having to up their dose because their TSH creeps up every couple of years or whatever, and their symptoms just persist, that fatigue, the metabolism, the weight gain, all that. And so even supposedly their blood tests are good, their symptoms aren't good. And so this is where the lifestyle factors, this is where your food, your nutritional deficiencies, you know, detoxing your body, all these things are going to come in and make you feel much better. So you still might need to take the hormone or the medication, but you're going to feel much better. Same for example, for depression and anxiety, same for ADHD, right? I have kids that are taking Ritalin that I treat, but we're doing all the rest of the stuff. So that just makes them even that much more able to concentrate and able to function, and able to regulate their emotions. So it doesn't matter what we're speaking about. It doesn't matter if God forbid you've got cancer and you need to do chemo, we can still work. There's still so much that you can do around that to help your body to make the most of the medication and get better as quick as possible. And yeah. That's the goal of functional medicine.
I love how you described, use the word marriage, because I think that's sort of, you know, one of the weaknesses of traditional medicine, modern, in air quotes, modern medicine, is it's removed the sense of agency from the patient. Just take this and it'll solve all your problems, opposed to take this and like, let's look at your lifestyle. Let's look at all the ways we can improve your quality of life as you're treating the symptom and or disease. And, you know, obviously it's so much more powerful to look at it that way than just quick fix, don't change anything, just take this pill and cross your fingers kind of thing.
Yeah, giving the patient the education to be the CEO of their health. That's the goal. Because people have good intuition about what's good for them and what's not good for them, you know? And that's why a lot of people ask me, do you have a specific diet that you kind of prescribe everyone? And I'm like, no, because people know what's good for them and what's not good for them. I often guide people about the type of foods that are good and bad. But, you know, I know that when I work with people long-term, eventually they get to a place where they say to me, this is working and this isn't working, so I'm going to stick with this. You know, they know that something's working for them. They know it's going to help them and they're going to stick with it. And I love that piece of giving people like confidence to know what helps them so that they can kind of say, I know what's good for me. I know how I'm going to help myself. And I think that's the part that you were speaking about with modern medicine, is that we've kind of handed it over to the doctor. We come to the doctor and we go like, doctor, we're sick. And doctor goes, great, here's a medicine or here's a surgery. That's what I got for you today. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're in tune with yourself, when you have that connection again, you say to yourself, what's going on here? Why am I blah, blah? Why am I sick with, I don't know, whatever, the cold, the flu, or something worse? What's happening here on an emotional level, on a mental level? What's going on in my life? Have I been not eating well? What am I doing? You know, and you start to realize things, and you're like, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to clean up my food. I need to take more rest days. I need to exercise more. I need to put boundaries on whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the real power. And if we only gave that to communities, and, you know, I mean, the more I read about the way the world is going, and I watch my kids and AI and social media and this whole like brainwashing us and telling us, you know, that everybody needs to do something, the more I worry about this, because we're, you know, governments and they love stupid people. Whereas people like me, I'm trying to create educated people. I want you to be educated. I want you to question everything. I want you to go to your doctor and say, but why? What else can I do? You know? And not just rely on just an answer of a pharmaceutical, that's my end game. Like, that's why I'm here. And I'm so passionate to spread this information to people, because I do think that we have a big say in our health.
Yeah. So let's take like a little different path, because I know that you've written children's books, which I absolutely love. And you're a mom like I am. So not necessarily just for children, but sort of, what are some key messages that we can, you know, integrate and educate across the board, so people feel, like you say, more confident that this is something that they have some control over, at the very least, if not a lot of control over?
Yeah. Listen, as a new mom, that was something that I was struggling with. You know, I countless times took my kids to the doctor for, I don't know, silly stuff like earache, tummy ache, blah, blah. And the doctor would be like, you need to give them this antibiotic. And, you know, my kids were born in Asia where the system is private, mm-hmm. and doctors make money from giving you medication. So, you know, that's a bit of a, like, you know, you need to think about that. If your doctor is making money of selling you something, then, you know, is he really giving it to you because you need it, or is he giving it to you because it gives him a good income? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would multiple times leave the clinic thinking, I could maybe try some vitamin C, and maybe I can make like a chamomile tea, and maybe I can observe. But a lot of the time, doctors like to use fear with you, especially new moms. They love to scare you. If you don't do this, your child's going to get a cerebral fever, and you're going to, like, that's it, the end. And yes, there's things that you don't play around with, you know, as new moms, like lungs and airways, you don't play around with. But, you know, but and I've educated many moms, I've done lots of workshops in this, like, as you get educated on homemade remedies, and there's tons, right, of anywhere you live in the world, you find these women that have this knowledge of herbs, of roots, of just simple stuff that's growing in your backyard that you can then make homemade natural remedies from. But if you learn to observe your child, and you're a very intuitive mom, you can really see if that child is in danger. And then at that point, you need to take them to the doctor. Or if really they're going through a childhood illness and you just need to comfort them, support them, and they'll get out of it. And that's okay. You don't need to dose them with pain relief and antibiotics, which is sometimes weakens their system even more. But for me, I think one of the things that I'm passionate about with my kids is teaching my kids. Like, one of the I teach them, you know, I have teenagers now, and they know, like, my kids, you know, when they have a sore tummy, they'll be like, oh, I'm just going to grab some charcoal and make myself a chamomile tea. You know, they know. And my mother-in-law was staying with the kids, a couple of months back. I was away for a night with my husband. And she's like, you know, my son, he wasn't feeling well. And she's like, he just went to the vitamin cabinet and started taking vitamin C, and he made himself honey and onion. And she was like, wow, like, how did you know that? And I'm like, because that's the thing. Like, just like everything else that I'm teaching my children, how to be human beings, how to behave in the world, how to learn for maths or whatever I'm teaching them, I'm teaching them how to take care of themselves, what to do when you get sick, what's the right way to feed your body. Yeah, of course they go out and have ice cream and junk with their friends here and there, but deep down, they know what's healthy eating. We speak about it, not in a fanatical way, but like, this is what your body needs. Can your body deal with junk? Yeah, for sure. But day to day, this is what you need to do. And, you know, even yesterday, I was listening to my son. He was speaking to me before we went to bed. And he was like, you know, Mom, I've really been eating badly the last couple of days. And I was like, really? Well, like, what are you eating? He's like, I don't know, just junk. There's a lot of parties and pizza and stuff. And I was like, okay, and how are you feeling today? He's like, no, my stomach's really not happy about it. And I said, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And he's like, definitely going back to like eating good stuff at home again and eating less out. And I was like, he knows, that's it. He's ready. He's off. He knows what's good for his body.
Yeah.
We're
super aligned on that. And I loved all the examples you gave. First, I'd like just, you know, you're modeling that when you feel a little off, you don't immediately go to the pharmacy and buy a box that has a list of ingredients that you have no idea what they are. You know, all of this like quick fix solutions. No, you go to the garden, you go to the products in your home, to tease to the sort of ancient wisdom at the very least first, and look at what's lacking in the nutrition and all that. And then that, you know, you're guiding them, but there's no layer of shame, right? I think for me, that's been really important. Like, it's not about making anyone feel bad about what, when they're having, you know, the party, the weekend of birthday parties or whatever. It's, yeah, well, you have the power in your hands to this week choose a little differently and you're going to feel better, and just sort of guiding them to figure that out for themselves, opposed to, you know, making them feel like there's a quick fix, like society wants them to believe that there's always, you know, a surgery or a pill. No, this is like, there's options at the very least. And, you know, I like to think my kids are very similar to yours in terms, they're not quite teenagers, but they're definitely wise to a bowl of vegetables is going to make them feel so much more energy than, you know, a bag of Doritos.
100%. And, you know, persistence, you know, it's hard. Being a parent, you need a lot of patience. But I think it rubs in. And people that I speak to that come from homes where health and nutrition and natural remedies was made a part of life. And you're right, not in a way that intimidates or is like judgmental, you know, in a way that's like, yeah, let's try this. If it doesn't work, we can always do this, you know, or it's okay. You had a bad meal. Don't worry about it. Let's do better next time, type of a thing, where you weren't using it as a punishment, but rather a way of life. These people gravitate towards that when they're older and they have their own homes. They'll do the same with their kids. So it's like this wisdom, you know. I'm the annoying mom that's like, you know, whenever we're hiking, I'll be like, that is really good for a sore throat. That, and maybe they don't remember it now, but I know that one day it will be in their brain. They'll be like, oh yeah, my mom used to say that. That was something, you know, and hopefully. Yeah,
but it's revolutionary to most people that the answer is out in nature opposed to in a pharmacy, right? Like even just seeding that idea, it's like, look, there's solutions out here in these trees. I love that. So what are some of the best ways for people to get in touch with you if they want more information or to work with you?
So thanks to COVID, I work internationally now, which is great. My clinic is probably about 70% online, which I love. Mm-hmm. And I have people really from all over the world, which is fantastic. So you can find me on Instagram, and my Instagram is Corinne Gougie Berry. I think that's how we connected, right?
Yeah, I'll definitely share all your links in the show notes.
And I try and share as much information as I can on many various topics on Instagram. I have a website. It's called nutritiousanddelicious.com. I'm sure you have my link and you can share it. And I do a lot of online masterclasses on very different topics. I'm working a lot in the field of cancer, ADHD. For women, I do a weight loss group, a really fun online weight loss group. It's called 21 Days to New You. And I really enjoy that one. It's one of my favorite ones. And one of the new things that I've implemented last year and doing it again this year is a yearly retreat that I'm doing in Greece. Maybe I should come to Mexico next time, which is a beautiful body, mind, soul type of experience for people that really want to like dig deeper into their health. So anyone can seek me out online, and thank you for hosting me and having me.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love Greece. It's such an incredible place. So I'm sure that's going to be a great experience. What dates is that, the end of 2024 or?
Yeah, so it's the 6th of November, 2024, and we're going to be in a UNESCO World Heritage pine forest.
Wow.
And we're going to be hiking and doing a lot of picking of medicinal herbs along the way and learning about them. But we're also going to be doing yoga and meditation and breath work. And we're staying in the most incredible retreat, which is called Euphoria. Which is a really exquisite place. I can send you the invite, but it's a really exquisite place in Greece, in the Peloponnese Mountains. So it's a special, it's a very special retreat. I loved it. We did it last year. The girls were like, do it again in the same place. I was like, okay.
You're like, done.
We were thinking about moving it to another place, but eventually we were like, no, we're doing it again in Greece. It's just so perfect there.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, please send me the information. It sounds absolutely, like complete immersion in the holistic lifestyle. I love the sound of that.
It is. It's a really special one. It's especially important for people who have started their journey, but want to dig deeper into the mind spirit place, because that one's actually the hardest one to tap into. A lot of people just, you know, it's easier to deal with your nutrition and your exercise, but when it comes to the mind, the spirit, trauma, it's much harder to work with, and it's harder to access it as well. And I think that these type of retreats allow you to disconnect from your life and just kind of come to a place where you feel safe, where you feel guided, where you can start to work on these places. And that's where real healing begins.
Yes. Incredible. All right. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I enjoyed it and all your wisdom, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Hey there. One last thing I wanted to share with you. If you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. It really does help us grow the show. And this being so important to me to get this message out to more women to help them optimize their wellness and ultimately their lives, this is my mission, and I would greatly appreciate it if you could support the podcast by rating and reviewing. Thanks in advance. Have a good one.